Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Monday, May the 22nd, 2023, 15 minutes past the hour, 57 degrees and sunny skies in the area. Doesn't get much better than that. I hope you enjoyed the first hour there with our author, Elizabeth Benedict, Rewriting Illness. What an interesting story that she went through, her life, really, not a story, but what an interesting experience, I guess I should say. I always find those experiences very helpful, hopefully, to the listening audience and people who might be going through something very similar. It's a tough road for a lot of people, but I guess there's always hope at the end of that road, kind of like the Michael J. Fox quote that we went through here, what, a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now? Gratitude sustains optimism, and I think that's very, very important. By the way, if you have anything to say, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Phone lines are open. Now, I have to open up this hour this morning with a little bit of bad news. Well, this morning, I went down to get my large diet soda, and you know, everything was going fine. Most of the kids are out of school now, and when the kids are out of school, the line at McDonald's gets to be a little shorter. And I got to McDonald's, and I ordered my large diet soda, and I got up to the window, and they gave it to me, and I made it through there in pretty good time. And guess what happened? It turned out to be a large regular soda. Which, you know, it's not a huge deal. I can drink a large regular soda. But, you know, when you really want that diet soda and they hand you a regular soda, it's just not the same. So this Monday did not start on the high note that I wished it would have. But that's what happened there. Now, I want to tell you about this past weekend. I had a great time this past weekend. I finally, after 2 years, made it to the Tiffin Flea Market. Now, as I said, this was kind of a long time coming because 2 years ago, what happened was, I believe it was in April of 2021, I had planned to go to the Tiffin Flea Market. And I got there, and that morning I had kind of felt funny. I did not know what was going on, but I kind of felt a little funny. And I got over there, and for whatever reason, I got about, I don't know, maybe 200, 300 feet in, and all of a sudden, it felt like I could not breathe, and almost like my throat was swelling. And I remember I sat down on a bench, and I thought, what in the world is going on? Did I get stung by something? Am I having an allergic reaction I don't know about? I could not figure out what was going on that day. So, ended up leaving the Tiffin Flea Market that day, never went back that season, and then last year, of course, I could not go back because I was going through the treatments for the illness that I was going through, so the Tiffin Flea Market's only on from April, I think, through September or October, so I did not make it back last year, so I was determined to make it this year, and it opened up in April, and in April, I ended up going to Lima the weekend that it opened. But Saturday, I finally made it over there. And I have to tell you, it was worth the trip. There are so many items over there and so many things. And the weather was not bad on Saturday. It was not raining. It was a little chilly, but certainly not raining at all. It was a great trip. I got to see a whole lot of stuff that I like. There were radios, old-fashioned radios, everywhere. a matter of fact, this one little area, they had nothing but old-fashioned radios out on the tables. And I love those, so I got to look at those, and it was just a lot of fun. And actually, we ate lunch over at the Tiffin Flea Market, and it's kind of set up like a carnival. So that was very, very nice, because you get that fair food, which I don't eat very often. But I did have a hamburger and some onion rings, and boy, were those onion rings good over at the Tiffin Flea Market. Had some onion rings, just took my time going through the place, and really had a great, great time. So I finally made it to the Tiffin Flea Market. You won't have to hear me talk about that anymore. Good weather, good items, good food, good day. That's where the day started on Saturday. Now, as we were coming into Tiffin, I noticed there was a little antique shop with the doors open. And on the way out of Tiffin, I said, well, hey, let's stop at that antique shop and see what they have. So we stopped there, and they had a lot of really neat stuff, too. Matter of fact, they had some old radios and some other stuff inside. Didn't end up buying anything there, but it was just a neat little, I think it was McCutcheonsville is where it would be. Hope I get that right. But just a nice little antique shop there in McCutcheonsville. So if you're going over to the Tiffin Flea Market at any point this season, try to stop there. There really is a lot of interesting stuff. Records, old radios, clothes, just about anything you would want. There are skeletons in the window, and I think it's because it's got a name, and I wish I would have wrote the name down. But the name is something to do with kind of a Halloweenish type of a name, even though it's not a Halloween store, it's a antique shop. So ended up stopping there, and then we headed out of Tiffin, and I said, you know, I've never been to Blooming Grove, Ohio. Now, Blooming Grove, Ohio is the birthplace of President Harding. Now, of course, his childhood home is in Caledonia. We've talked about that, and of course, I've been there. And, of course, the Harding home is where he lived his life with Florence, and I've been there, and we all know about that. And, of course, he's in the Harding Memorial now, his final resting place. But where he was actually born is a place called Blooming Grove, Ohio. So after leaving Tiffin, we headed over to Blooming Grove. And I'll tell you, Blooming Grove is not exactly a metropolis. It's just a little tiny place, very agriculturally driven. And it's kind of interesting, because when you're going through Blooming Grove on the left side of the road, well, I guess depending on which way you come in, but it was on the left side of the road for us. On the left side of the road, there's a big historical marker right next to a house, and that is the birthplace of President Warren G. Harding. And then there's a little, it looks like a cemetery tombstone. Oh, I think we're getting a call here. Let's take the phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning out there.
Good morning.
So, yeah, just a couple things here and there. I think it's the Hollow Inn. I did a search because I was really curious. Hollow Inn Antique Mall, would that have been it?
That probably was it.
Yeah, interesting. McCutcheonsville is not a very big place, but quite a bit of an antique scene there.
Yeah, but most likely, it's nice when you drive through it. It's right there and the doors were open, and they had a lot of stuff in there.
It's not far from that answer I gave with Cary. It's not far from Cary, Ohio, which I gave as an answer, remember, a few days ago.
Right.
Again, I'm becoming more of an antique as my birthday approaches.
So the Hollow Inn is what it was called?
Yeah, Hollow Inn Antique Mall, yes.
Okay.
Also, Deceased Vintage is a antique store, but this sounds like Halloween. This has to be it. So sounds like a fun place. As I become more of an antique, next week and a half I'll be a bit more of an antique than I already am. Elizabeth was excellent. I was... You know, didn't know whom you were going to be interviewing or having on, and she was great. The webmaster wanted to let you know that the link to the presentation is on the website and a link to her own website, and it's good reading. So we do encourage people to visit said website, and just under Phil Donahue's smiling face, you'll see a link to her information, which is definitely good. Good food for the brain.
So the interview with Elizabeth Benedict is on the website under my interviews, and also the link to her website is there as well.
Yeah, she was really good. I did want to mention, though, someone else you have on regularly, Opal. You know, you won't give your opinion, Scott, of course, and that's fine. I'll give you mine if you want to hear it.
Okay, go ahead.
What it is, but do you think that this Opal lady has any credibility? Can you comment at all? I think she's just completely... she's completely out there, let's put it politely. I don't even know what the appeal of her is. She's not one of my favorite guests. Honestly, the first couple times I was entertained by her. But at this point, if she's going to be on, I'm going to turn the radio off. I do apologize because, you know, I like to listen to you, and you are such a good interviewer. But I really heard all I want to hear about from her.
Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting. The thing with Opal, the one thing I would say about her is that I think she believes what she's saying. After meeting her and after talking to her on the phone several times, there's no doubt in my mind that she believes what she is saying. But she's also one of those things, it's not a serious interview at all. I'm certainly not calling to ask her opinion on world events. But what has happened is because she calls so often and leaves messages at the studio, I feel the obligation to call her back because she has done things for me. She did meet up for the interview in Toledo, and she did come on when she was running for mayor, which I did appreciate, which those were legitimate interviews and invitations. And it's fascinating to me, somebody like Matt finds her endlessly fascinating. And I think it's just, it's one of those things, it's one of those topics where some people aren't going to like it, and some people are going to like it. And, you know, at this point, I wouldn't have her on every day, but if there's a dead spot or something that is interesting to people, or could be interesting to people, I would go, because I don't know what she's going to say.
I'm just giving, you know, I'm giving you an opinion, and what you said, that Satan killed her dog.
Well, see,
she believes that.
I would think so, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, I said she was entertaining initially, but I've really, how do I really can take with her? And I do apologize, my friend, but if she's on, I think, you know, I'll turn on Sirius 70s on 7 or listen to one of your repeats or find something else to do to occupy my life.
Well, no, I think that's the way with everybody, though. You know, I know people, if I have a politician on, they say I'm going to turn that off because I don't like politics. And then I know people, if I have somebody on who's from Hollywood, they don't want to listen to that. I think everything's, you know, everybody has their own. And some people, when I do Family Feud, they say, well, I don't want to hear that. You know, it's just an opinion. I mean, I think everybody has their opinion.
You haven't by chance talked with Pastor Steve on the show about her. I don't know, because I didn't listen last week. I had something else going on, but I wouldn't mind hearing what Pastor Steve has to say.
You know, I wouldn't bring that up because, again, I think it's not a... like I said, I think she believes what she's saying, and I think that's it. I think if you take her seriously, then... I don't know. It'd be interesting if you took her seriously. I don't know. It's just, it's a fascinating thing to me. And like I say, when she's on, I certainly don't keep her on for the full 45 minutes. It's maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And I think it's just interesting. She's what we used to call an eccentric person. There used to be a lot of eccentric people around.
I'm eccentric, Scott. I don't put myself in the category that she's in. I mean, there are different kinds of eccentricities for sure. I guess you could look at it that way. It's a spectrum of eccentricity, because I consider myself an eccentric. So I guess it depends how you interpret that.
Well, I think to be eccentric, I don't know that you know you're eccentric. Because I think eccentric is a term other people would put on you. They'd say, well, that's an eccentric person.
I know that I am. I'm proud of it.
Right.
Normal people are boring. That's what I say. And whenever I say that,
well, she's certainly not normal.
I'm given a nod of agreement. Well, it's great because normal is boring. Why be normal?
Right, and I think that is the appeal that she has to the people who do like to hear from her, is that she is not normal.
I'm not sure about the 10 to 15 minutes. I am a windpipe. I agree. I can rattle and not go into tangents, but she does, and she says she'll just be on a little bit, and she's trying to get to the top of the news and keep talking. And I said she was entertaining initially, but I've really heard all I really want to hear from her. I understand that, you know, that's just my opinion, so if you want to hear it, I'll give it to you.
No, I don't mind opinions. Like I say, I just think it's one of those things.
Some of the things she says, and, you know, I'm not a religious person, but just her view.
Well, I think if you take her...
He's different. I mean, it's what makes America great. We have such a variety of people. And she's different, and she's been very kind to the station. I'm not saying I don't like her. Anybody who gives his or her time to the station is appreciated. But I think I'm kind of opaled out, I guess.
Well, I guess to me the appeal is, number one, like I say, she's been very good. So when she, it's not like I'm calling her. Usually,
yeah,
it's a return phone call.
A very nice lady. I want to say that. I'm just saying the content.
And again, I think it's interesting. Like Friday night, for people who didn't hear Friday night, she came on and told a story about being kicked out of Walmart, and was very animated about this story. Now, do I know if she'd been kicked out of Walmart? No, I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. Did I know that was the story she was going to tell? No. I had not talked to her beforehand. I did not know that's what she was going to bring up. But if you listen to the show, now Matthew, who's 19, 20 years old, he's endlessly fascinated by her. So again, I think it's different opinions for different people. And it's never making fun of her. And I think that's also a point to be made, is that I think if a zoo type of a program did that interview, I think they would be trying to make fun of her. And I'm not trying to make fun of her.
Yeah, I don't listen to those programs. I don't like it. No offense to my friend Patrick. I'm not a fan. You get down and dirty with guests, and that's the way it should be, with this mystery that you don't have any opinions on anything. I said, I think I told Ron Feinman, I couldn't even tell you if you were pro-choice or not. I suspect you are, maybe not as pro-choice as I am, but I'm just making a guess. I wouldn't really bet any more than $5 on any of my assessments of your political views, because I really don't know them.
Well, I'll say
and
this.
I guess that's all part of the fun, but...
Well, I'll say.
Maybe Kreskin knows. I don't.
Well, here's what I will say. I will say that it's interesting to me that people would want to censor anybody, because what I've always believed is the airwaves, no matter where they come from, should not be censored in any way. Now, I think at some point, if it gets into a point where you're making fun of somebody, I don't think you should do that, but the zoo shows do it every day. But if somebody wants to speak, you know, I'm willing to hear what they have to say. People call in here all the time. Some people, yeah, I'll tell you what's interesting, and I won't say the name, but somebody came in last Friday and picked up a prize, and they made a comment about one of the other callers, about how they don't necessarily like to hear that other caller. Well, we're not going to limit the other caller. I think everybody just has opinions. I mean, there are things that I like to hear better than others. I didn't know how well Elizabeth was going to do this morning, and I think she turned out to be a very informative guest.
Was that other person me? Me, my chance?
No, it wasn't you.
Oh, thank goodness.
No. No, but I think, you know, I think it's just different opinions, and I don't mind opinions. I mean, it's just what people like and what people don't like.
You know what I think we should do, Scott, thinking about, like, opinions on controversial issues, I mean, like, the big A word, is next time you give away a contest prize, don't give away a gift card or something. Have people be allowed to ask one political question of you, one issue, you know, you can go A to Z, you know, A for abortion, you know, just pick, you know, S for same-sex marriage, I guess, E for the ERA, just pick a big issue, you know, that's recent or totally topical, and you will be giving your opinion on that issue. That would be probably one of the best prizes I could imagine being given away on this show. Wouldn't that be a fascinating, and that would be a way to get, I would be glued to my radio. I wouldn't even take any calls from potential clients if somebody were to do that, because I'm just so curious about all this stuff.
Well, I'll tell you the thing. The best I can tell you about why I don't give opinions is just simply because I do consider myself more in the journalistic realm. Now, I'm a talk show host by nature, but I do try to be a journalist, and I don't believe a journalist should ever give opinions. Now, that's become out of fashion,
But I don't think my opinion affects anything except what you know. My opinion in an interview should be irrelevant. If I'm giving you my opinion all the time, why do I need a guest? I'd rather hear what the guest has to say.
Right, and then we have people like Sam, where their political slant is very conspicuous post-retirement. But his retirement is kind of like being your guest and being your official 40th birthday wisher. So, you know, who knows? I mean, if you retire, which probably will be never, you start being a little more opinionated. But probably not. That's just part of your image. And it's just part of the mystique, I guess, and we can kind of joke about it, and you'll never give any hints. So I'll just tell you, and I could probably even give you, you know, as I said, give you 10 issues and say what I think your viewpoint is on them. As I said, like, I personally think you are pro-choice. Again, maybe not as pro-choice as I am, but in general, you feel it's the woman's right. And you probably are pro Roe v. Wade, but who knows? I might be totally in left field, or you may be as pro-choice as I am, or maybe you just don't even have an opinion, but that I would seriously doubt.
Well, that people don't know how I feel, I think proves that maybe I'm doing the job right, because that is the whole point. And not that I don't have, of course I have opinions of my own. I mean, I'm not a non-human being, but I also believe that, like I said, in this particular profession, for what I do, my opinion doesn't mean a whole lot.
Yeah,
if I want to have...
My mom would say, I'd love to be a spot on the wall when you're inside the voting booth, or it's now a touchpad. So I guess that's part of it. Like, we don't know.
Right, right. And
I remember one of my aunts, no one knew how old she was, even her husband. No one knew. And that was before the internet and before you could just search things online. To this day, I can't tell you how old she was. I just did approximately, but I guess it's kind of like that. I guess that's part of the fun. And when you talk with people like Sam, who's obviously to the left, off the air, you don't talk about your own opinions, right? It's just his. You're always neutral. Sam couldn't even. I mean, as much of an instinct and as smart as he is, he wouldn't even know, right?
No, we don't have. No, usually when we talk, how are you doing? That's pretty much what it is.
Right. It just is. I've never seen somebody who was so good at that, though, because something always leaks out. It's like with me, I often will try to be impartial, but people know what my political views are, and you can ask. I think with the state of the world, I'm happy to give my opinion, because some of these issues I think are really important. So that's part of the fun, and it's certainly commendable, Scott, because I don't know how you do it. It's just something that things just slip out, and you have a way of knowing exactly what's supposed to come out of your mouth, and that's quite impressive.
Well, I appreciate it.
So, okay, well, that's my opinion, and I'd like to hear. I mean, if any, especially any of the ministers who listen to this program, and there certainly are a few, I'd like to hear what they might think about Opal or anybody else. I mean, yeah, I'm just saying she's a very nice lady. She's very gracious to the station, and she is she's articulate on the air. It's just some of this stuff. It's really a little too far out there, even for Adam.
All right. Well, thanks, Adam.
Okay, Scott. Well, have a good show. Thanks again for having Elizabeth on. She was excellent.
No problem. Bye-bye.
All right. Phone lines are open here, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, if you have an opinion on Opal, you can call in and give it. As I say, she's not somebody I would call every day and not somebody I would do a 45-minute interview with, but... when somebody wants to be on the air, I do believe that if they've been good to you, that you probably should put them on the air. And after meeting her up in Toledo last week, I know that she believes what she's saying. Now, is what she's saying true? Now, that's left up for discussion. But, I don't know. It's just one of those things, and I think... anything you have on is left up for discussion. Do I like that? Do I not like that? I think all guests are like that. I think all opinions are like that. I think all games are like that. So if you have anything to say, let me know. 740-751-4038. And I thank Adam for looking up antique shop in McCutcheonsville that I stopped at. Now, Blooming Grove. I was at Blooming Grove, in Blooming Grove on Saturday. And they have the little, it looks like a, kind of like a cemetery stone on the ground where President Harding's house used to be. And then there's a big flagpole. Now, somebody had said to me that this is private property, but I really don't think it's private property because I don't think you can put an historic marker on private property. Maybe you can. I don't know. It just would seem odd because how could you stop and visit the historic marker if it was on private property? In any event, it's a nice little area there in Blooming Grove. Of course, the house is gone. It says that the house is no longer there. And there is a house on that spot, but it's kind of over to the left. It's not right on top of where Harding's been. And there's also a lot of bushes that cover the area. So we went over to Blooming Grove and did that. By the way, has anybody else ever been over to Blooming Grove? Not too far away. Not too much to do over there. But an interesting place. 740-751-4038. Then from Blooming Grove, we headed over to Mansfield. Now, went to Mansfield to a place I had never been. The Ohio Reformatory. The old Ohio Reformatory in Mansfield, where I think a lot of people think it's haunted. Now, they had a big festival going on this past weekend. It was called Parapsychon, a Parapsychon festival. And, of course, they had all the vendors out there. They had the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man from the Ghostbuster movie. The Ghostbuster car was there. They had a lot of people looking for ghosts. It was interesting to that degree. Now, I think I've said on the air before that I have never seen a ghost. I've never heard a ghost. So I don't know that I'm a ghost type of person. But they had this big festival over there, and there were all kinds of people. And I'll tell you, that prison is really a work of art. Constructurally, I did not realize how well that prison was crafted, also used in the Shawshank Redemption movies. Just a very interesting place. There's some ponds out in front of it. It's a nice area, kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but it was a lot of fun to be there during Reformatory or Parapsychon, the Parapsychon Festival. Now, I don't know if anybody found any ghosts or anything like that, but it was an interesting event over at the Ohio Reformatory, and I certainly would encourage anybody to go visit that particular place. Then, while we were over in Mansfield, we took a little jog over to Ontario to, of course, Fazoli's, one of my favorite places to eat. I love Fazoli's. Had not been there in probably 6 months. I think the last time I was there was right around Christmas time. I actually tried the pizza this time. The pizza was not bad. I like the spaghetti with the pepperoni and cheese on top, probably the best, and that's what I had. But the person I was with tried the pizza, so I had a couple pieces of the pizza. A good event. Fazoli's is always good. Best breadsticks in the business. Delicious. So a good time at Fazoli's. Then on the way back to Marion, stopped in Galleon and got an Oreo Blizzard, which as many of you know is my favorite dessert. So it was a very fun, exciting day. The Tiffin Flea Market, Blooming Grove, Mansfield, the Ohio Reformatory, and the Parapsychon Festival, Ontario for Fazoli's, and then Galleon for an Oreo Blizzard. What a fun day Saturday was. All right, phone lines are open. 42 minutes past the hour here. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And again, there are pictures of those events up on the Facebook page. If you just search Scott Spears, you can take a look at me at the Tiffin Flea Market eating those delicious onion rings. And the Ghostbuster car is there, and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Oh, and Slimer. Remember Slimer from the Ghostbusters movie, the green blob, the ghost that was out to get everybody? Well, he's in the Ghostbuster car. And you see some pictures of the prison from the Shawshank Redemption. And then, of course, eating at Fazoli's and the Oreo Blizzard and the spot of President Harding's birth at Blooming Grove. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, talking about the Mansfield Reformatory.
Yes.
I went by there all the time from Marion to Kent on the railroad, see?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first started on the railroad, we went up through there one night, climbing the hill there right in front of the Reformatory. That, the east and westbound Erie, Lackawanna, Conrail track, way, see? And the engineer, some engineers, even clear out in California, I heard him one day, the golfers was playing, and they said, listen to that train going by. He's got a signature whistle. So the golfer probably knew the engineer because he gave a different toot, you know. You can do that with the horn. If somebody knows that you told them, you're going to give them a couple of shorts and a long or something like that. But anyhow, getting back to the subject, going up the hill that night, engineering went doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. And, of course, I'm learning the railroad. I said, when you go by here, what's the idea of making those short toots on the whistle? He said, well, come over here and look up there at the reformatory. He said, you'll see a light blink. And so he done it again, and there was a light up there on about the third floor or something like that, and it flipped on, off, on, off, on, off. So I said, hey, I said, that's pretty neat. I said, who is that blinking the light up there? He said, that's my son. And I said, oh, your son is in the reformatory? He said, yeah. He said, when I go by here regularly, I give him a couple toots on the horn, and he blinks a light, and that's our communication going back and forth. Now, back at that time, it was called a reformatory, and then I don't know where it come into a prison. I think it was supposed to be for young men and women, or I don't know sure about the women, men, I believe, that they were reformed, you know, in there, and they come out, and they live productive lives, like, you know, like the word says. But I just thought I'd put that in. Then over on the westbound track, there was a siding there, and so the first time I ever was on the railroad and learning the railroad, I asked the engineer, I said, boy, there's a lot of tombstones along here, up along through there, just a cement tombstone about 2 foot high, and it had a number, maybe a six-digit number on there. He said, yeah, that's the people that died in the reformatory that never made it out, and they buried in there, and it's no names, it's just their number they had. You know, they, a lot of people say, well, I just get treated like I'm a number. Well, you've heard that phrase also, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's what it was there. But you're just talking about being over there. Someday, I'd like to maybe know somebody or something been over there. On the westbound side there, well, it would be on the side where they built a new reformatory. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, of course. There, on the side, it used to be the old reformatory there that the movie was made. Why, the people that was in the reformatory, they farmed that country over there on that side, cows and ran for, there was a self-supporting reformatory, which was pretty neat. All of them had jobs and cows, and they made food and, you know, all that stuff, and lived off of their land, and the help was there. But the new ones over there, I don't know much about that one because I've never been on a road over there to go buy that new one or anything like that, but I'm taking up too much of your air time.
No. You know what's interesting is the address, I believe, is 100 Reformatory Road is the address of the place. So they definitely still call it the Reformatory. But what fascinated me, two things about it, because I'd never been there. Number one was the structure itself. It looks like a great old house. I mean, it's a really a beautiful type of a place, even though it was once a prison. And the ground, you know, they have these ponds that are beautiful out there, and it's really well kept. I'm kind of shocked that you would not think of it as a prison if you just saw it for the first time. And also, all these people over there on Saturday trying to find ghosts. Boy, there are a lot of people interested in that.
Well, it was fortunate enough. Carol and I was over there a good many years ago. I don't know when it was open to the public. I don't know if it was prior to the movie or after the movie. I kind of I don't know for sure. I think it would have to be before, but I know for a fact, we as eyewitnesses and like thousands of other people probably toured that place. There was the old cells and the old bed mattresses throwed, and I mean it just looked like helter skelter broke loose in there, you know. And that's the way it was when we went through it. Now, no doubt, did you go through it at all at any time?
I got to look at a little bit of it. It was kind of full because of this this ghost thing, but I got to see like the barber chair and the lobby, and I did get to see a cell.
I'd say they probably cleaned it up and everything. I wish I could get back over there on one of those things because I know that it wouldn't. It was just looked like it was evacuated, and then that was the end of it, and whatever happened in there or something like that. And I don't think in the film, we watched that movie, I don't know for sure if it showed any of the cell blocks or not in there, but I know they was trashed when we was over there. But this was an interesting place, still is.
Absolutely.
I just thought the railroad aspect, as I was learning the railroad and stuff going up through there, and that was always a hard pull after you come down through Diamond Street, Mansfield, going east, and you got up there with your tonnage train, you would get a hard pull going up there. Maybe sometimes you'd be down to maybe 4, 5, 6 mile an hour making that pull on those, they called the summit there, and the brickyard was up there. The Kent Division was made up of hills, grades, we should say, going up, and your tonnage, your train, and the power you had was a hard pull. But they'd make it just over that, and then 5 mile down, 5 mile up, and this and that. That was the curvature and the kind of geography part of the railroad. And they said if you could run a train on the Erie Lackawanna at that time, that was the name of it on the Erie, you could run any train in the United States of America. So I was pretty proud of being an engineer on there with those things that all that took place on the railroad. It really an interesting job.
Absolutely, and that's a great story. Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right. Again, 740-751-4038, 51 minutes past the hour. That's a great story about going by on the train and sounding the whistle, and the sun, who was in the reformatory, would shine a light. That's a great story. I, like I said, I just found it fascinating. I could not believe that it was a prison at one point. I mean, clearly it was, but it doesn't look like a prison. It looks like an old castle, is what it reminded me of. But the grounds are beautiful. So, I don't know. I guess it's just the way it goes sometimes. 740-751-4038. Does anybody have anything to say about the Tiffin Flea Market, Blooming Grove, Ohio, President Harding's birthplace, the Ohio Reformatory, Fazoli's, anything else we did on Saturday? You know, has anybody been to Blooming Grove? I get the feeling that that's probably not a highly visited place. But it is where President Harding was born. And you know what I could not figure out? It's only about 10 minutes from Mansfield. Why do we claim President Harding as Marion, as his hometown, when really he was born closer to Mansfield? A lot closer to Mansfield. I don't know. Maybe I'll move on over to Blooming Grove. There's a lot of empty land over there, I'll tell you that. Blooming Grove is certainly not a metropolis. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, if nobody else is going to talk, I'll talk.
Go ahead.
I've been there several times. I thought it was a disgrace to President Harding that during the time that we built things here in Marion stuff, somehow, sometime in the historical system, why didn't they, I believe I saw that, if I'm not mistaken, and I sometimes I act like I know it for sure, but I believe that wasn't a house, that was a log cabin, wasn't it, or was not? Did you know anything about Harding living there?
I really don't. All I know is that there's like a little plaque there that says President Harding's home was here, birthplace was here.
Yeah, and you talk about little, you wouldn't even know it if somebody didn't tell you. Going over to the railroad, we had a job over to Harding over there towards Mansfield where the splits there goes 30 the old 30 goes into Mansfield, and the other one goes the other way over towards Taft. Used to be General Motors, and we had a place there. We switched cars there at Harding Yard, and then we'd go across 30 over into the General Motors plant, and we'd deliver cars and take cars out of there, or parts and finished parts out of there, and they'd go on the train and go to the assembly lines all over the United States, I reckon, wherever General Motors had factories. But that was an interesting thing, too. But Blooming Grove, getting back to that, and up there at McCutcheonville, heck, if you're going over towards Tiffin, and when you get to McCutcheonville, the crossroad, the only crossroad there, I believe, and if you turn to your left, you go over to New Regal. You've heard of New Regal?
I have.
Well, boy, I couldn't imagine someone like eating. You didn't go over there and get an order of ribs and sit down there and enjoy and have a cold beer.
Well, I think I was filled up on. I had the onion rings at the flea market. I had the spaghetti at Fazoli's. I had the blizzard from Dairy Queen in Galleon. And then I had a hamburger over at the flea market as well. I think all I did, I was just traveling the countryside on Saturday, just eating my way through it.
But you knew the turn off there, you could have got an order of ribs to take home, or couldn't you?
I should have done that, because every bit of food I ate was good. But I'll tell you, anybody should go over to Blooming Grove if they haven't been there, because they certainly aren't going to get caught in a traffic jam there.
Well, I don't know, and you know what? It's not disgraceful as a President Harding at all, but I don't think I would tell anybody to waste the gas to go too far to travel over there. Maybe a little local people, but I wouldn't go from some other state to go over there and see that. But real people that's really historical with President stuff, they would probably appreciate just that little capture. And what do I tell you, if you blink your eye, you'll never see it.
That's right. Look on the left or the right. You look for the flagpole.
Yeah, I've been there when there was a log cabin, and I thought that was the birthplace of President Harding. And it was probably back then when he was, you know, president, and when he was a kid growing up, that would be a log cabin, wouldn't it?
Oh, it could have been. It could have been. I wouldn't doubt it.
Be too much thing it could have been during that period of time. I don't think that most presidents look at all the rest of them. They grew up in log cabins, most of them, didn't they?
A lot of them did. That he was born, I think, in, you know, I have it. Hold on, let me pull up the picture here. I have the year he was born, November 2nd, 1865.
Yeah, and I imagine they had a little plot there, and I don't know if they had a school there or what later on or anything like that. But yeah, it's interesting. 288 goes up there, and you make the turn and the stop up there at 97. You're just off to your left right there. It's just easy place to go 309, 288, and when you get to 97, instead of going to the right on over there, just go to your left, and it's just about what, a block or two off of that.
Yeah, and then you can just go about 10, 15 minutes up the road, and you can go over to the reformatory.
Yeah, Mansfield Reformatory. You say prison, that's what the differential is. Reformatory was for young men to, and like I say, I don't know about women for sure. They may have had women in there later. Then it went to the name prison. But they had priests, I don't know if priests, a Catholic, or what, they had they had clergymen over there, and they taught the things, and it was a really a good rehabbing for young men that got in trouble, and they come out of there and wasn't in trouble anymore. I think there was a movie on that same culture of what happened at the Mansfield Reformatory. Out of here. I'll see you, Scott.
Hey, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, about 2 minutes left in the program. I also wanted to thank Brinley, our youngest listener out there that I know of, 7 years old. She won the Del Taco hat on Friday. Well, her grandmother, Mary, won the Del Taco gift card, $10, and then Brinley got the Del Taco hat. And on Saturday, I got a picture of Brinley wearing the Del Taco beanie, the famous Del Taco beanies. So we put that up on the social media page as well. And I think Ryan also picked up his prize on Friday. All right, we've got about a minute left here if somebody wants to call in. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. But there are so many interesting things to do. You hop in the car with somebody, and honestly, we had just planned pretty much to go to the Tiffin Flea Market. Didn't know how long we'd be there, but ended up at the Tiffin Flea Market, then ended up in McCutcheonsville at the antique shop, then trotted on over to Blooming Grove, and then trotted on over to the Ohio Reformatory, and then trotted on over to Ontario for dinner, and then to Galleon. It was a great, great weekend. Lots of fun, lots of laughs, and lots of interesting stuff to stumble on. And that's what I like to do. I like to go on trips like that. So if anybody ever has a suggestion, think on it. Maybe get back with me tomorrow about interesting things to do in Ohio that maybe are a little bit off the beaten path. And trust me, Blooming Grove, Ohio is off the beaten path. You can go visit the flagpole where President Harding was born. Well, hey, for this day, hope you enjoyed the program and hope to talk to you tomorrow. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary comedian and the voice of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll.
And as I teased before we went to the break there, we have on today a lady who I've had on the program, I believe, two times before. But every time she comes on, I am excited. She's one of the most kind.
Kind is the word I think of when I think of this woman. People.